Morning is from Colossians. Now you can find that on page 1183 in your pew Bibles. I'll be reading from chapter 2, verse 6 to 23. So that's page 1183, chapter 2, verse 6 to page 23. Freedom from human regulations through life with Christ. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with his regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels and angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all defined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of the Lord.
Claire has said, this morning we continue our series looking at Colossians. It's actually been 2 weeks since we had the last talk on this, as last week it was the Sunday Funday, and we weren't here. And particularly this morning, we're going to be having a look mostly at the first two verses, verses 6 and 7, to see how they speak to us about what's already been said, so for the two Sundays that we've already had looking at this, and then actually what's being said in the rest of this chapter. So before we dive in, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us by your Spirit, and we pray that this morning you would speak to us and tell us what it is that we need to hear. That you would speak to us as your people, but you would also speak to us as individuals. Amen. So many of you will probably know that over this last academic year, so back in September, I started a course at St. Augustine's College, which is in Westmorling, at the St. Benedict's Abbey. And the first term that I had there, we were looking at biblical studies. And during that term, we were encouraged to to look at the importance of the whole context of what we're looking at. It can be very easy to read an isolated part of the Bible and actually forget the greater whole that it comes part of. And actually, with our passage this morning, it even gives us that clue that we can't forget what it is that's come first, as the first two words that we had in verse 6 were "so then." So is one of those words that is a natural follow-on, like "therefore" or "however," things like that. It makes us look back at actually what had happened. So what have we had happen? Well, basically, Paul has been outlining what it is that the Colossians were taught in, what it is that they had actually received, but not actually from him. We didn't have it in our reading this morning, but just before our reading in verses 1 to 5 of Colossians 2, he tells us that actually he's never met the Colossians. He's never been there. He doesn't know who they are. Actually, it was one of his fellow workers, a guy called Epaphras, who founded the church and set it up. But Paul is still wanting to be involved with them, hence him writing the letter. So we can't forget what's come before, but we're not going to have a look back entirely, as we've already had a look at those two things. If you haven't been here for any of those particular sermons, then I encourage you to have a listen to them on the website. They really are quite good. But let's have a think today about verses 6 through to 23, particularly 6 and 7. And as we look at verses 6 and 7, there are a couple of what I'm going to call A followed by B statements. And the first one is "just as continue." So just as you received Christ Jesus Lord, continue to live in him. And that begs the question, is Jesus Lord? I don't mean in a grand sense, because actually, as we've said in our affirmation of faith this morning, we've said in that Jesus is Lord. But actually, in our lives, is Jesus truly our Lord? And there's a really simple way to test this. It's not by looking at what somebody says, or even by what they think they might believe, but actually looking at how they act. Do our lives reflect Christ and his lordship in them? Or actually, when people look at us, is all they see us? Do they see Jesus actually working in our life and being Lord over it? Or do they just see us going about and doing things as we want to do them? The second one is rooted and built up. And this also begs another question. It might seem like Paul's mixing his metaphors here, the idea of rooted applying to plants and being built up applying to buildings. It turns out that actually that idea of rooted may have been more to do with being founded in something, having a foundation. But either way, we have to ask ourselves the question, what are we basing our faith on? Do we base our faith on words that are spoken to us by humans? So that could be people up here preaching to us. Do we accept them entirely as writ? Or are we building it on the word as spoken by God? And that's capital T, capital W, the word. Is it Jesus who is the one that is the foundation of our faith, or is it actually human things? And furthermore, are we then actually growing? Are we being built up, or are we staying the same? Last year, I went through a period of counselling, and as part of that, the counsellor that I was with suggested that I might want to think about a person who I could essentially look up to as a model of godly living. And I don't want to necessarily embarrass him anymore, but the person that I picked was Richard. As whenever I look at Richard, see how he lives, what he does, I see someone who reflects Christ. And that's in many different ways, not just because of the fact that he is somewhat older than me and more mature in the faith. Actually, there's lots of other reasons why I think that he reflects Christ as well. And this idea is actually a really important one. We all need to have someone that actually we're looking up to, somebody that we know is essentially better than we are. Someone who is more mature in the faith, whether that's someone that we know from our church, whether it's somebody that we look up to as kind of a spiritual hero, as it were. And they don't even have to be alive. There are loads of wonderful people throughout history who could be that person for us. But the flip side is that actually, we should be trying to be that person for others as well. That we should be trying to encourage others who are less mature than us, who are younger in their faith than us. One of those ways is by being involved with physically people who are younger. So those people that help out with SOS or Sunday Club or Connect or Refresh or Holiday Club or any of those sorts of things. That's a really practical way of actually being able to build up people in their faith. So we've had our A and B of Just As and Continue, our A and B of Rooted and Built Up. And then the third A and B is Strengthened As You Were Taught. So how can we be strengthened as we were taught? Well, I have three very simple things. Number one, read the Bible. It's very simple. Number two, pray. Again, very simple. It doesn't involve a whole lot of things to do to pray. It doesn't even need to involve words. It could just be spending time silently with God. But the final thing that I would suggest is actually staying in church, regularly being part of a worshiping community. Now, in the middle of that strengthened as you were taught are the words in the faith. And for Paul, this isn't simply the idea of actually knowing Jesus in our hearts and accepting him there. Actually, it's also that passed down body of knowledge about Jesus. So we don't just need to know Jesus in our hearts in the same way that we may know our friends or our spouses, things like that. Actually, we need to know about him as well. And primarily that's going to come if we read the Bible, if we pray, and if we stay in church. Now, another thing that we were, I guess, drilled in when we were doing our biblical studies module at St. Augustine's was not just to read the Bible and get good at memorizing verses or knowing where things are. Actually, we were encouraged to also ask the question, so what? Why does it matter that we should be continuing in the way that we were taught? Why does it matter that we need to be rooted and built up? Why should we be strengthened? And Paul actually gives us the answer in verse 8. He says, "See to it that you aren't deceived." The reason is that we, as human beings, as fallen creatures, we have a tendency to end up going into slavery. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says that it's for freedom that we have been set free, not that we will be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Actually, if we don't truly accept what Christ did on the cross and accept that he's Lord of our life, then we're going to become a slave to something, whether it's a slave to human things or whether it's a slave to something else. But how are we set free from slavery from things? Well, actually, in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says that we're set free by knowing the truth. And we may have the question, what actually is the truth? Well, again, Jesus answers this when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So for us, the truth actually has a name, and his name is Jesus. Now, for the Colossians, the trap, the snare that they were possibly going to be falling into was Judaism. They had been infiltrated by a group of teachers who were claiming that Judaism was the fulfillment of Christianity, whereas actually it's completely the other way around. But for us, the trap might not be Judaism. Actually, it might be other things. It might be fear, a fear of judgment, a fear of failure, a fear of loneliness. It might be false teaching. Sad to say, but actually there is a fair amount of false teaching that goes on. I don't believe it happens here, but I think it does happen elsewhere. It could be the thought that actually we're not a proper Christian. Maybe because sometimes we feel that we don't do all the things that we should do. Maybe we don't read the Bible as much as we think we should do, or we don't pray as much as we feel we should do. Or maybe because we don't speak in tongues or have other spiritual gifts like that. Or maybe because actually we don't live in poverty. But actually all of these things are things that we need to be set free from. It may be that there are some of us here this morning who feel like actually there's something inside of us that's preventing us from truly living in the freedom that we are given in Christ. And that is because actually, greater than just humans, the one that's out to ensnare us is the devil, and he has a lot of very clever ways of trying to do that to us. But we can know that actually Christ has overcome even him. Sometimes it may not feel like it, but the Bible tells us time and time again that Jesus has overcome everything: sin, death, the world, and the devil. But there is a paradox at the heart of the idea of being set free, which Jesus himself says. He says that we can't serve two masters. So even though we've been set free, we haven't been set free from something, but for something. We've been set free from sin and death. We've been redeemed from that master in order to serve another one. But in serving Jesus, in being, as Paul says, a slave to him, actually, we find so much more than we ever had before. And so we come to the final thing that Paul says in verse 7. And this is the mark of someone who is living with Christ as their Saviour and Lord. And that is overflowing in thankfulness. Now, I have to admit, sometimes I'm not always thankful about everything. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm overflowing with it, particularly when my son wakes me up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm not overly thankful then. I am thankful that I know it's not going to last, hopefully. But are our lives overflowing with thankfulness? Maybe this morning that's the thing that we need to ask from Jesus particularly, actually, that he would put his joy, his thankfulness inside of us so that we can overflow with it, so that others can see it and they would know that actually it's not just ourselves that they see, but actually Christ as well. So for a second, as we draw to an end, I'd like you to have a think about, is there anything that you think might be trying to trap you, to ensnare you, to take you back into slavery? And I'm going to pray for us now. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you didn't just come to be our friend or our brother or even our Savior, but that you came to be the Lord of our lives. And we thank you that when we accept you as Lord of our life, that we can be set free from everything that would try and ensnare us or trap us or burden us with a yoke of slavery. We pray now for ourselves and for any that we know who are slaves to something, whether it's fear or false thoughts or anything else. Father, we pray that you would come and bring your freedom to us and to them, and that we can live lives that overflow with thankfulness because of what you have done for us. Amen.